Today on Discover the Word, a song is going to remind us of one of the greatest promises in the Bible. It's a promise God makes that is repeated over and over throughout the pages of Scripture. Now, it's obviously something people throughout all history have needed to know, and something that we need to know today. Now, this week, Marty Hahn, Elisa Morgan, Bill Crowder, and Daniel Ryan Day will be in week two of a series of conversations called You Are Not Alone. And they invite you to explore with them several of the instances in which this promise is made. Discover what the promise is and look at instance number one next on Discover the Word. And this is Discover the Word, the weekday small group Bible study from our Daily Bread Ministries. Great to have you here at the table with the group today as Elisa continues to guide Mart and Bill and Daniel through passages that address something that we all have struggled with in life at times, what we called last week the pain of alone. You know, loneliness shows up in all sorts of ways, caused by all sorts of different things, but really is a painful emotion to deal with. I think that was obvious as we discussed it last week. And so if you missed those first five conversations, I hope you'll access them on our discovertheword.org website and listen and add that context to what we'll be talking about this week. Because this week we're going to transition to looking at God's presence and His provision in our loneliness as we discover that even in those times when we're feeling the pain of alone, we are never really alone. And so that song that reminds Elisa of the promise that God makes throughout Scripture that can be a comfort to us in our loneliness, what is that? Well, let's discover what it is.
Okay, did you guys ever see the movie or even the play Camelot?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
I know Daniel doesn't even know what I'm talking about probably, right?
I do.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking of an example that I probably shouldn't share of seeing Monty Python's version of Camelot.
That was a little bit
different.
That
probably wasn't a musical, was it?
Yeah. I think there was some music.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the romantic, sweeping saga of Camelot, King Arthur and his Knights of the Round Table and mm-hmm. Guinevere.
Where did the story go?
Well, the part of the story I'm bringing up here is the part where Guinevere and Lancelot fall in love, and it's an illicit relationship, and King Arthur's heart is broken over it, and Guinevere is actually beheaded for her treason to her king because of it. But Lancelot sings this song to Guinevere that's one of the most romantic, beautiful songs. It's "If Ever I Would Leave You," and basically it's no, not in springtime, summer, winter, or fall. No, never would I leave you at all. To my then young teen heart, who had a father who abandoned me when I was five, that song has just stuck in my heart and wooed me towards a kind of love that I've always wanted.
Even though the story is a tragic
ending. It's a tragic story.
Ending.
So you want to, yeah, it's
doesn't
the kind
that
of thing,
mess up your song?
No. You know, it's the kind of thing you want to watch over and over again to see if it turns out differently the next time, and it doesn't. All right, what are we doing with this Camelot moment? Well, we're entering week two of this series called You Are Not Alone. And we're going to be looking at what God gives us in our pain of alone, what difference He makes. And one of them is He gives us His presence, that He'll never leave us. You know, He gives us a being with us moment. And before we unpack that much more fully, let's just remember the kinds of pains of alone that we talked about last week. So they're here at the table with us. What kinds of things do we talk about?
Emotional
pain.
In our work.
In our work. We called it vocational, in our work.
Physical.
And physical. Mm-hmm. Great. And then relational, you know. So today, as we turn the corner a little bit, we're going to look at Deuteronomy 31, how God speaks to Moses, and then Moses speaks to Joshua, what He provides for them in their aloneness of leading. And we're going to also look a little bit further on from that. But let's read Deuteronomy 31, and let's just read verses 3-6 right now.
And what's the historical setting?
Yeah. Moses has been leading Israel.
Yeah, he's led them through 40 years in the wilderness, and because of his disobedience, he is allowed to see the land of promise from a distance, but he's not allowed to enter. So really, the book of Deuteronomy is kind of his farewell speech to the people of Israel and a commissioning of Joshua to take over the leadership.
Yeah, he's passing on the leadership of Israel to Joshua. And as you can imagine, if you were just offering those last few words to people that you deeply cared about, of all the things you've ever said, this is what you want them to remember, to know that you cared about them, that God cares about them, that he's leading them. And specifically to Joshua, these are the words that he wants him to remember as he goes to lead.
That's great. So let's read them. Mark, can you start us in Deuteronomy 31? And we'll just do verses 1 to 6.
So it says, when Moses had finished giving these instructions to all the people of Israel, he said, I'm now 120 years old. I'm no longer able to lead you. And the Lord has told me, you will not cross the Jordan River.
The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said.
And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I've commanded you.
Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you.
That is a powerful promise. Being strong, it's like grow strong, become strong, mighty and powerful. Be courageous, which is bold and alert and determined. Don't be afraid. The Lord goes with you. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. And what have we said forsake means? You know, what are some synonyms for that?
Abandon.
Mm-hmm. Or desert.
Yeah.
Okay. And you can see why I like this so much. I mean, that's what I experienced. But I think we all feel abandoned and deserted and forsaken by God at times.
But I have the same response here that I did to you. The story goes so sideways. It goes so bad.
Yes, it does.
And so there's almost a sense in which you love the song. It's a love song. There's a sense of romance. There's a whole lot of romance in these words, too, especially when you know how terrible it's going to become.
And that's a great point, Mart, because
I think it's an awful point.
Well, no, it is an awful point, but the reality is that in our pain of alone, we're going to go sideways at times, and it's not going to look the way we're hoping it will look. And yet God is saying something very provisional. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you.
I think that's the larger point, Mart. I think you're right. The story's going to get very, very dark before it gets light again. But God's going to be faithful all along the way, even when we aren't. And we can rest in that faithfulness and trust it, because he's going to make good. As even as we were reading this, I was just reminded, you know, God does not love us any less in our sideways stuff and in our darkness than he did Israel and theirs.
And so is that the story we're talking about that's going to go sideways? Is the story of Israel?
Yeah, the history of Israel and the nations themselves, but Israel specifically.
Yeah, because, I mean, they are constantly lapsing into idolatry. They're constantly falling short of not just God's expectations, but of their own promises to God.
Yeah.
And yet God faithfully keeps loving them and calling them back.
And when there are those people that remind them of the promises of God, remind them of all that God has done for them, people like Isaiah and Jeremiah, they're not welcome.
No.
And
proverbial that they killed the prophets.
Yeah. And at the same time, when Jesus comes on the scene, he also takes that kind of a prophetic role at times to call Israel back to their God, and they reject him as well.
Yeah.
I think in one of our earliest programs, we looked at the pain of alone, and we talked about different scenarios where we can experience it. You know, sometimes when we're following God, sometimes when we're grieving, but also sometimes when we're not following God, we experience the pain of alone. And I think that's what you're bringing up here, is that Israel is going to disobey. Israel is not going to follow God. And yet God saying to Moses, and now we're going to see him say it to Joshua too, that's not going to change who he is. And just in the rest of this passage, verses 7 to 8, God basically says the same thing through Moses. Daniel, would you grab that and read that?
Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged.
God says it to Moses and tells Moses to say it to Joshua.
Hmm. Yeah, and aren't these almost the same words that Jesus says to his disciples right before he disappears?
He does. And we'll look at those in another conversation too, because it's a layering of promise and presence. And we've seen that throughout the story of the Exodus. God is present with them by day and by night with the pillar of fire, you know, providing manna. He is present with them. And with Moses moving out of that leadership role and Joshua moving in, there is a consistency of God's presence with them. I remember and this is a little bit romantic, just put up with me. I think some people will get this, but I remember I was at an event where a man named Seth Haynes was speaking, and he's a lawyer, a young man, a devoted Christian. And near the end of his talk, he was talking about God's love for us and how much it changes our helplessness. And he was quoting from Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. He said, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." And this goes kind of back to that trajectory of the rest of the story of how God views us in spite of our mess. And, you know, Seth did an interesting thing. He said, "I want everybody in this room to stand up, and I want you to experience God rejoicing over you with singing," and just think about that for a minute, the favor that God has for you, how much he loves you, because he sees us through Jesus, you know, in that act on the cross. "And I want you to sing back to God, whatever comes to mind." And this whole room, like 3,000 people, stood up. The woman next to me was singing Amazing Grace. The other woman on the other side was singing Jesus Loves Me. And I began to sing, "If ever I would leave you, it wouldn't be in springtime." And I just felt this amazing, stunning awareness that I'm not alone, that God has given me his presence, that he will never leave me or forsake me.
Great conversation to begin our week, and I've got an assignment for you. I'd like you to go online and type in "If Ever I Would Leave You" in your search engine, and then click on a video of one of the choices and listen to it. Maybe you've heard it before, maybe it'll be a new one to you, but I think having heard today's conversation, knowing how meaningful that song is to Elisa, you'll hear it in the context of God's promise to never leave us nor forsake us, and it'll become meaningful for you too. To be reminded that, in a sense, God says, "No, never will I leave you at all." Yeah, be sure to do that. Again, "If Ever I Would Leave You" is the name of the song to search. Well, just starting week two of our series titled "You Are Not Alone," you're at the Discover the Word table with Mark DeHaan, Lisa Morgan, Bill Crowder, and Daniel Ryan Day. And we're talking about experiencing God's presence when we feel the pain of alone. You can keep up with the series online on our website at discovertheword.org, or you can have every new Discover the Word program sent directly to your phone when you subscribe to our program through one of the many podcasting apps. That way, wherever you are, you always have the latest conversation ready to listen to. You can subscribe to Discover the Word on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Because here at Discover the Word, it's our mission to make the life-changing wisdom of the Bible understandable and accessible to people all around the world. And if you'd like to come alongside us as a partner in ministry, we invite you to support Discover the Word by making a donation. There are a couple of ways you can do that. You can give a one-time gift, or you can sign up to become a Discover the Word partner and give a recurring monthly donation. Simply go online to discovertheword.org and click the Donate button. I think many of us are so used to the idea of one-day or two-day delivery, of instant video streaming, that we're sometimes surprised when God doesn't answer our prayers with that same speed. And so next time, Mark, Elisa, Bill, and Daniel will discuss how God answers prayers in his way and on his schedule. And I'm Brian Hedinga, inviting you back to the table Tuesday when we'll discover the Word. Discover the Word is provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.